Well, my plan is that once we finish covering all the sources, that we go through all the actual text-based sources and building up from it. Ellie was here last week. So then we could really just take all the concepts and all the halachas that we learn, and then just start to analyze cases. Because I often find that when we analyze cases, what happens is we have to really take into account all these things. When it comes to basar b'chalav, to shilas in the kitchen, it's always like that. Every time you have a question, you have to really analyze it from six different angles. In most of Hilchas Shabbos, it's not that difficult. There's usually one sugya. It's usually one particular set of halachas, and you can just figure out what the halacha is in that case. There's the principles that always count, but when it comes to the shilas of the chalam pot, so then we have to really cover all the different angles. We started with shehiyah, and we moved along with that, and we basically, in a nutshell, what we did with shehiyah. We're not going to talk about klipas now, but but in a nutshell, what we did was we basically described. Just for those who didn't get it, this week in the Chassidus shir, we were coming close to the end. We had to start to discussing the klipa of noiga. One of the klipas that's discussed in the Sefer Chassidus, the Ramchal talks about it also, even though it's not Sefer Chassidus, this is the klipas noiga. So in a nutshell, I was able to describe what the klipa of noiga was. But anyway, getting back to this, so we introduced shehiyah. Shehiyah is the issue of leaving a pot on the fire from before Shabbos, and what would be the potential problem of doing that. And we described that there's a chashash that maybe you'll come to stoke the flames, raise the flame, make the flame higher, because you want your food to be ready. Last week we introduced the concept of chazara. Chazara is returning a pot. Now I want to start off this week because we covered a lot of the bases last week in the ikar, in the most important points of what the tenai and what the conditions are. I'm going to jump a little bit and we're going to come back again. We're going to loop around because I want to kind of get everything in. In source number... In source number 18 is really where it starts. Source number 16. The Gemara says as follows. V'shil emrim af machzirim. A person can even return a pot. And the Gemara says, Amar of Sheshes, the Divri Ha'omer, this goes to the top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, on Maseches Shabbos, the Divri Ha'omer Machzirin, according to the opinion that holds that a person can return a pot to the fire, Machzirin Afilu B'Shabbos. You can return the pot to the fire, Afilu B'Shabbos. So this is a curveball in everything we're discussing, because the way we're understanding everything is that the Shehiyah, the term Shehiyah, which means to leave or to wait, to leave a pot in one place, means you put the pot on from before Shabbos and you leave it there until you want to eat it. And that's what we do with a crock pot. You make your challah on Erev Shabbos, you put it into your crock pot, you leave it there on the element, whatever the source of heat is, you leave it there, it stays there, and it cooks until you're ready to eat it. And then the term chazara we always describe is, it's a continuation. Last week we really explained a little more deep, but ultimately what it, Chazara is that you're just taking a detour off of your Shehiyah. It's a continuation. In other words, Shehiyah is the action of leaving it there from before Shabbos. Chazara is when you take it off the fire on Shabbos, you want to return it to that original state of being there. In other words, it's just a detour. You put it there in Erev Shabbos, you're leaving it there until when you need it, and you know what, you decide Friday night, I'm a little hungry. We had the meal early, it's an early winter Shabbos. We finished the meal by, 8:30. It's already 11 o'clock at night. I want to have some chalent, I'm hungry. So you take the chalent off and you want to return it to its position of Shehiyah. That's the way we understand it. Now, if that's the case, what does it mean, L'divri ha'omer machzirin? According to those who say a person's allowed to return a pot to the fire, machzirin afilu b'Shabbos. You could even return it on Shabbos. What else are we talking about? Of course, I mean, we talked about before Shabbos. Before Shabbos means chazara. Means Shehiyah. In other words, the way we're describing this is, Shehiyah is what you do before Shabbos, leaving it into Shabbos. Chazara is on Shabbos. I took it off the fire, I want to return it. So the Gemara throws this curveball here and says, those who say you're allowed to return it, you can return it even on Shabbos. What else would we be talking about? That's the question that a lot of the Rishonim are struggling with. We're going to spend some time today, Mirtz Hashem, understanding that Gemara. But let's just say that because of this line in the Gemara, there are three different opinions in the Rishonim. Tosfos says, indeed, the real din of Chazara is talking about an Erev Shabbos. And he explains it very interestingly. He says, Shehiyah is when you put something on the fire on Erev Shabbos at a normal hour and allow it to stay there throughout Shabbos. Chazara is when you take that pot off the fire and now you want to return it so close to Shabbos that it wouldn't be able to cook within that amount of time. Let's say within 5 minutes. You put it on, let's give it a practical example for a winter Shabbos. You put the pot on the fire at 2 o'clock. Lift the candle lighting, let's say it's going to be 4:30. So now you take the pot off the fire at 4:25. Now you want to return it at 4:28. So you're 2 minutes before candle lighting. Says Tosfos, that would be the discussion of Chazara. There would be reason to believe that that would be forbidden. Why? We'll explain why it's very soon. Today we're going to get to it. You'll see in source number 19 there's a rush, and there's a carbon asana which discusses what this would be talking about.
Even if the food's not cooked.
Even if it's cooked. Even if it's cooked.
Even if it's cooked.
Yeah. It happens to be that the carbon asana, we're going to explain that, but the carbon asana says it's not relevant when it's raw. We'll get to it. We'll understand it very soon. The Tosfos obviously is one of these things, like Rashi would write in the Chumash, this pasuk doesn't say anything to me other than you've got to dig in to understand this. This Tosfos is one of those Tosfos, and we have to understand what this Tosfos is talking about. It does not seem to make any sense. So that's, we'll leave it. We're going to come back. We're going to hook back around to it soon. But I want to just give a quick review of what we discussed last week for those who weren't here. In source number 3, we have a Rashi. We're discussing again the concept of Chazara. What would potentially be the problem of returning a pot to the fire? Again, let's think about it. The food is obviously fully cooked. Because we've been spending a lot of time already discussing cooking. We're not talking about someone who's going to cook something on Shabbos. If something is raw, it's obvious you can't return to the fire on Shabbos. Because it's raw. Just like you can't take something out of your refrigerator, a raw piece of meat out of your refrigerator, and put it on the fire. You wouldn't be able to take a raw piece of meat off the fire and then return the raw piece of meat to the fire because ultimately what you're doing is cooking. So that's simple. We can't be talking about something which is not cooked because that would be a problem of cooking. So what does Rashi say? What would be the potential problem of returning a cooked pot to the fire on Shabbos? Says Rashi, Mechzik Mevashel. And we explained this last week that there's a concept of doing things in the kitchen. And this is the way I'm explaining it based on other sugyas as well. But the way I understand the concept of Mechzik Mevashel is it's not an idea of Maris Ayin. And we explained this last week. It's not that people are going to walk into my kitchen and accuse me or suspect that I am violating one of the Lamates Avis Melachos, which is cooking. Rather, what it is that Chazal, a Chazal, to prevent us, they built a little wall around cooking. Anything which would be defined in modern terms as cooking would be prohibited. And we explained last week, you know, someone calls the house and says to his wife, what are you doing right now? I'm cooking. Now, would he ever say, are you mamish cooking? Does it have a halacha of cooking? Are you sure that what you're doing right now has a chalais din cooking on it? Maybe it's not called cooking. He's not going to do that. What she's doing, she's in the kitchen, she's preparing food, she's setting things up for supper, she's preparing food for Shabbos, she's cooking. That's what she's doing, she's cooking. Now, whether or not that has a halachic definition of being cooked, that's irrelevant. Once you get into the realm of cooking, Chazal didn't want you doing that on Shabbos, because we get into a very slippery slope. So that's what Rashi's saying. Returning a pot of food to the fire potentially can put you into the category of Mechzik Mevashel, you're cooking. That's what you're doing. You're preparing food on Shabbos, and that Chazal didn't want you to be doing. Now, if that's the case, so then how could we return a pot of food to the fire? Now, just one more point. Tosfos seems to say, and this is another sugya. I don't want to get into the words of Tosfos, but Tosfos seems to say it's really an extension of the din of Shehiyah. Just like Shehiyah, we're worried that once a person is going to look at his food and see it's not prepared the way he desires it to be, he's going to go ahead and adjust the flame. He's going to raise the flame. The same thing is true. A person takes a challah off. Imagine this. It's 11 o'clock at night. You're had your whole meal already. You're sitting down you know, you want to go over the parsha a little bit, or whatever it is, you have some friends over, and you want to have some challah, and you take the challah off, and you see it's just really not cooking well enough. You're looking at it and say, it's not fully cooked. You know, I mean, it's fully cooked, but it's still at the early stage, it's not bubbling well, and you're thinking, if it's going to sit like this for the next 13 or 14 hours, we're going to have a problem. The challah is not going to be good for tomorrow. So Taisu said, there's an issue that if you're going to play with the pot and return it to the flame on Shabbos, then maybe you'll adjust the flame. That's the way Taisus understands what the issue would be with returning a pot to the fire. Now, what we're going to do here is...
Taisus, though, if it's cooked completely, then there shouldn't be any issue.
The problem would... Well, theoretically...
The same issue with Shehiyah, then.
Right.
If he's using the same reasoning of Shehiyah, then
right.
It should...
It's interesting. It's a good point. That's a good point. According to Taisus, we should really have the same parameters. If it's, in other words, if it's mitzdamik v'ralai,
right,
and it's bashal kotzarech, everyone should agree. It should be fine. We don't find that to be the case. But we do see over here is the Gemara in source number 5. We have 5 conditions that need to be. Over here, we don't get through all 5 of them. But the Gemara discusses the concept. I just summarized it in that little indented paragraph after number 5, where the Gemara has a bunch of different opinions on how to go about this, and ultimately there's a few points we have to acknowledge. Number 1, there's the idea of oide biyada. You're still holding it. And then there's something, another concept of daito lahachzir. I have in mind to return it to the fire. And then there's the whole discussion of putting it down on the floor. But ultimately, what we see in this Gemara is again reinforcing what we explained at the beginning, that when someone, if you want to put a pot back on the fire, what you have to do is you have to still be holding it, and you have to have in mind to put it back on. What's the logic behind that? Because again, as long as we can explain that what you're doing is simply just continuing the Shehiyah, but you added a slight detour. In other words, the Shehiyah was mutter. You're allowed to leave your pot on the fire from before Shabbos, and I'm leaving it till tomorrow. Now, all I want to do is, I want to have a slight detour. So, what distinguishes between the detour, I took the pot off for a minute, and I'm just going to return it, to, I took the pot off, and now, you know what? Let me put a pot of food on the fire. What distinguishes between those two things, where the first case would be mutter and the second case would be aser, is that all I'm doing is I had in mind from the beginning to put it back on the fire. And in addition to having in mind to put it back on the fire, I'm still holding it. So I'm literally just taking it off for a minute amount of time just to get something out of the pot. And that would be fine. That's the idea that the Gemara comes up with. Now, I do have to note that the Gemara here is a big, huge dispute between the Amoraim, which one of these conditions need to be met. Ultimately, Rabbeinu Chananel, he explained to us in source number 6, that since we are coming, I don't want to get into this whole explanation again, since the issue that we're coming to prevent is an issue which is subject to a biblical prohibition, says Rabbeinu Chananel, take all the chumras. Number 1, you have to have in mind to put it back on. Number 2, you have to still be holding on to it. And then we're going to get to some other conditions as well. The way he says it is that we didn't put it down on the floor. We didn't put it down. That's number 1. Rather, you're still holding it, and you had a mind to return it to the flame. The Rambam in source number 7 is much more lenient. The Rambam is of the opinion that all you have to have is Vahu. It's in the second line in source number 7. Vahu shlo yaneach hakdera gavikarka. That's the only condition the Rambam requires. You didn't put it down on the floor. We explain the idea of floor is because, again, the oven that the Rambam was talking about, or the Gemara was talking about, was a stone structure on the floor, and you had a fire inside with coals. You put your pot on top. What did you do when you finished with the pot? Put it on the floor next to the oven. So putting it on the floor was the ultimate, that was the way you put your pots away. That was the ultimate sign that I'm done with this pot. I put it down. I put it away. There was no cabinets. It wasn't like they had a whole kitchen with cabinets. When you finish with the pot, you put it down next to the stove until the next time you needed to use it. So putting it down signals, when you put it down, it signals that I'm done. I'm finished with this. And then putting it back on would be in the category of nesina lechatchila, of putting something on the fire for the first time. And then, so that basically takes us to Machlokas Rishonim, how many conditions need to be met, where the Rambam says one, and the Rabbi Hanan says you have to have at least these two. You didn't put it down, you're still holding it, and you had to have in mind to put it back on. Now in Shulchan Aruch, it's very important to notice what he says over here. Now the first thing is, Kirashi Grufu Ktuma. I underlined the conditions that need to be met. Number one, the first thing that we're discussing here is that it needs to be Garfa Katum. Garfa Katum, we explained, is what you do to cover the flame. It's however you're going to cover the flame. Where did this condition come from? We didn't see this in the Gemara. It wasn't written in that Gemara. The answer is that it's written in the Mishnah. The original Mishnah that we discussed, which we weren't sure if was it talking about Shehiyah, was it talking about Chazara, that Mishnah says whatever you're going to do, it needs to be Garfa Katum. So the Mishnah, which introduced this whole sugya to us, this whole concept to us, tells us that it has to be Grufu Ktuma. Yeah, that the flame needs to be covered. So that's number one. If you would like to return a pot to the flame on Shabbos, number one, it has to be a covered flame. That's number one. V'natal k'deira mi'ala. So you have this kira, upon which the flame is covered. You took the pot off. Afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, mutar lachzir, you could return it. Kol zman shehi. Now we're going to start with the conditions. So number one, obviously, it has to be a covered flame. Number two, kol zman shehi sachas. It has to still be hot. The food needs to be hot. In other words, even if I meet the other conditions, where I'm holding on to it, I have a mind to return it, but now the food's already cold, you can't return it. Why? We'll discuss that very soon. Ve'od debiyado, he's still holding on to it. That's the Rambam. Again, why does Mechaber not say that? Because the Mechaber goes with the Rambam. The Rambam just said, ve'lo inicha gabei karka. Rambam didn't say that it has to still be in your hand. Rambam just said, you can't have put it on the floor. Putting it on the floor signifies you're done with the pot. Letting go of it doesn't say you're done with the pot. Put it down on the counter to take some out. So according to the Ashkenazim, you have to still be holding on to it. According to the Sfaradim, as long as you didn't put it away in a way which shows that you're done with it. Continues the Ramah. Ramah going with Rabbeinu Chananel, not with the Rambam. V'dayta lachzira. Another condition you have to have in mind to return it to the flame. Okay, so here we have, you have to have Grufu Ktuma. It has to be hot. According to the Ramah, the Ashkenazim, you have to be holding on to it. According to the Sfaradim, you're not allowed to put it down. And there's Vidaita Lachzira. So now we have four. So far we have four conditions. The flame needs to be covered. That's number one. Number two, you have to have in mind to put it back on. Number three, you have to either be holding on to it or don't put it on the floor at least. And then, it has to be hot. Rosach has to be hot. So far, those are the four that we know about. Now there's one more that doesn't even need to be mentioned, which is it has to be fully cooked. It has to be in special kol tzarcho. That doesn't even come into the equation because that's so simple. That's being a special kol tzarcho because no one's going to ever think you're allowed to cook something on Shabbos. So five conditions that need to be met is one which is so simple it's not even written in Shulchan Aruch that the food needs to be fully cooked. Then we have the flame needs to be covered. It has to be hot. You have to still be holding on to it, or at least you didn't put it down on the floor according to the Sfaradim, and then you have to have a mind to return it. Those are the five conditions. Now we have to...
When we say still holding on to it, what does that mean? That it's you're holding it in the air? Or you still have a hand on it? What is that?
Okay, so lehalacha, the way that Ramesha explains it, is they have to still be supporting. In other words, you can lean it on the counter and hold on to it with 100%. As I want to say as well, that holding on to it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be holding it, suspending it in the air, but you have to be supporting it. The way that would be the most practical way to do that is you take your pot, put it over the edge of the counter, and obviously with a towel or a glove, you hold on to one side of it like this. It's realistic for you to be able to take your challan, because if you're holding it with two hands, unless you're able to use your mouth like the Kayan Gadol did in Yom Kippur, get your challan down, you suck it out with the straw, it's not going to work so well. So, Or you have someone else help you. But ultimately, that would be an etzah. You put it on the edge of the counter, you let it fall over the side, and then, in the absence of your hand, it would fall down, but you hold on to it with your hand, that's considered holding on to it.
And then obviously removing stuff while it's directly on the flame is considered...
Why are we moving it?
I'm saying, for chazara reasons.
Yeah.
Why don't you just take it while it's still on the flame?
Oh, very good point. So we discussed the halacha earlier of hotzah b'kaf while it's still on the flame. L'maisa, we're machmir, not to do it. It's a chumrah. We don't take things out of a pot while it's on the flame. The truth is, I should just mention that I've never seen this written, but I've heard that in Bnei Brak, where they go with the psak of the Chazon Ish really didn't like the ideas that we came up with to cover our flames. He didn't like the idea of having a metal blech. So he, according to the Chazon Ish, a lot of what we do is not garaf akatum. So that's missing one of the essential tanayim that we need in order to do chazara. So they were of the opinion that we're going to be makel and call our piece of metal gufu ktuma, and then allow chazara and be machmer and hatzah b'kaf. For what reason? Hatzah b'kaf is a major chumrah. So they said, better just leave it on top of the fire, slowly put your spoon in, take it out, and then cover it instead of getting to the whole sugya of chazara. Which is an interesting point. Lamaisa, I think most of Klal Yisrael really doesn't go with that. We all use the blech and consider it to be a blech. That being the case, why should we... Why do we need to be makel on that chumrah? In other words, as long as we're considering a grufu ketumah, there's no reason to scoop it out while it's on the fire. But if it was something like soup, which is just liquid, so there's no problem to mix it. So that in such a case, you're right. You could just open up the pot, do it sabakaf, take it out, and then put it into your bowl. In other words, you don't have to go through the whole thing.
So soup in a crock pot on Shabbos afternoon.
Yeah, you could just take the cover off.
Take it right
out. Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
You can't scoop out of the crock pot on a Friday night. You can't take a scoop of cholent out of a pot.
Right, so cholent would be...
The whole pot out of the
insert?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the issue with doing that is cholent has a problem of stirring because it's a lot of big pieces in there. And like we explained in that sugya, there's a problem to stir that on Shabbos. So therefore, we wouldn't want to just scoop out of the cholent pot on Friday night. We want to take the pot off, and then it's no longer on top of the fire, so the issue of hotzah of a kaf, of taking out with a spoon, is no longer as problematic. So okay.
A soup of big pieces will be an issue also.
Well, it depends. If you have a soup with a lot of pieces, like, you know, sometimes my wife makes this barley soup, and this mushroom barley soup. That I can hear where there's a problem. A general chicken soup, generally, even though if you'll have vegetables in there, it's still, for the most part, it's a big, huge pot of liquid with a few things floating around inside. Listen, if it's different, it's different. But I'm talking about a case where it's majority liquid.
Put your hands on the pot, right? The cover is where? Off completely?
Yes, that's an interesting point. It could really be off completely. Personally, what I do is I just put it back on top of... I have the type of crock pot that's like a little base... Which is an element, it gets hot, and the pot sits on it. So I just put the cover back on top of the fire, because that, I mean, I'm allowed to do that because I had a mind to put it back there. And then the issue that I avoid is that a lot of times you have the condensation in the cover, in the lid. Now, it doesn't take too long for that to cool down, literally, to below Yad Seledus Bo. Mm-hmm. So what you could have is you take off the cover, you have a lot of condensation in there, you put it down on the counter, and you scoop out your cholent. By the time you're done, that liquid has already cooled down. Now, when you put it back on the top of the fire, you could really go into a potential problem of cooking that water again. So that's why I recommend that what you do is take the cover and put it on top of, right away, open it up, put it back on top of your elements like this. It never cools down. It's always on top of the fire. And then you put it back on top of your pot, and that's fine.
And cooking in this case, we're talking about, I know it's fully cooked when it's
right
to a certain point, but it's always getting better and
right exactly. More. So it's at that point where it's considered fully cooked, but still, yeah, we'll agree that tomorrow it's going to taste better, but still fine. I mean, in other words, it's fully cooked. Everything in there is edible. The meat is edible. The beans are edible. The barley is edible. But tomorrow will be better. That's not a problem. Now, what I want to spend a few minutes analyzing. It's already 9 o'clock. I'm sorry. Is this idea of rosachas that has to be hot. Because we really have to understand where this comes from and what the reason is. The Gemara didn't say it has to be hot. So we have to understand why does it have to be hot? And we're going to see that it's going to be halachic nafkamina. Look in source number 10, the Bach. Masha Kosov calls man Shahiro Sachas. It has to be hot. The Bach is not going on the Shulchan Aruch, he's going on the Tor, but it's really the same thing. Nira, it seems to me, Medulo Amar calls man Shalon Itztanana, since he didn't say that you're allowed to return it, as long as it didn't cool down, Alma da filu hakdera dayin chama, nami einu mutter ella calls man Shahiro Sachas, tahashta leka ella chazara. I read a lot of words here, but basically what he's saying is, this idea of Rosachas is not coming to teach you the halacha of Bishul. Again, he says, we're not getting to the idea of Bishul. It needs to be hot, and hot doesn't simply mean hot. It has to really, really be hot. It has to still be very, very hot. Literally, almost still boiling. Why? Because if the temperature dips so significantly, even if it's over Yad Seledesbo, where there will be no halachic issue of heating that up hotter again, there's no problem with Bishul Achar Bishul when something is still hot over the point of Yad Seledesbo. Still says the Bach, once it cools down significantly, then we're no longer able to define this as a simple detour in my cooking. It's not simply a detour. It's cooled off. No, it's not halachically cold, but this is no longer hot. This is no longer boiling. Says the Bach, once it dips so significantly in its temperature, that is already out of the realm of Chazara. That's Nesina L'chatchila. You can't call that a detour in your original Shehiyah. That's already something else. That's already putting new food on the fire. That's not Chazara anymore. That's putting something on the fire not for the first time, but as if it's the first time. That's the way the Bach understands it. In other words, according to the Bach, even if we avoid all issues of Bishul, says the Bach, if the temperature dipped significantly, you can't return it to the fire. So according to the Bach, it's a very short window of time. You take your challah pot off, take your challah quickly. The truth is, challah is pretty thick, it retains its heat for a while. But take it quickly enough that it won't lose a significant amount of temperature, so it won't look like a new type of cooking. The Magen Avraham disagrees with that. The Magen Avraham, source 11, he writes, this is on Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Shayat Saled Espo, Ayim Ashakas of Simen Shin Yuches, he right away references Simen Shin Yuches, which is the halachas of Bishul, Sif Dalad, Deleik Erle Shabbos, V'Nagu L'Hachal Amlonit Stan L'Gamri. Says the Magen Avraham, Os Ashkenazim, remember, the halacha is, according to Ashkenazim, a davar, lach, a liquid item, which was fully cooked, which went under Yad Seledesbo. As long as it didn't cool down entirely, the halacha is, you let it rewarm it. Says the Magen Avraham, you know what the halacha here is? The same thing. You have a challah pot, let's call it a davar lach, for argument's sake. Okay, let's call it a davar lach, there's a lot of liquid in here. It cooled down under Yad Seledesbo. Says the Magen Avraham, no problem. Even though it's on the Yad Seledesbo, it's still much to return it. Because what's the issue we're trying to avoid? Cooking. There's no problem with cooking something that dipped under Yad Seledesbo as long as it didn't cool down entirely. So herein lies a big fundamental machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Bach. And he writes clearly at the end, I underlined it, the lo kebach. I'm disagreeing with the Bach. But the Bach says the problem over here is that it would seem like it's a new cooking. So even if we avoid all Bishul problems, it's still going to be a problem. Says Magen Avraham, that's not true. The reason why it has to be hot is to avoid a potential problem of Bishul, of re-warming food which cooled down. Says the Magen Avraham, we got a lot of time for that. Because we pass like the Ramah. Us Ashkenazim go with the Ramah, that as long as it doesn't cool down entirely, it's mutter to return to the flame. If that's the case, says the Magen Avraham, you have plenty of time to return it to the fire. The Vilna Gaon in source number 12 seems to say the same thing. And then the Mishnah Berurah has Mishnah Berurah Paskin. Again, if you look where it's underlined, let's start from the beginning. He says, Pratzeh, this point about it being hot, Eino doma lekol haniskar b'sif zeh. Is not similar to all the other conditions that are listed in this sif. The behem, in those cases, hatam hu, dolehi tiru chacham chazar ki'im b'yif in zeh. Chazal gave us certain conditions that we have to follow in order to return a pot to the fire. Simple issues, the chazal, they are just issues of rabbinical prohibition. Chazal didn't want us to return a pot to the fire unless we met certain conditions. Aval bazeh, this, hatam hu, the kimish in the stalag mersichaso, since it cooled down, it stopped boiling, the hainu sh'eni yatzaledes bo, it's already under yatzaledes bo, yesh bo shuv, isra bishel, there's a problem with bishel. Again, the Mishnah Brura is going with the Magen Avram that the problem we're trying to avoid here is bishel. That's why he ends off at the end, the last few words in the Mishnah Brura. Therefore, nagu lahakol and lonetzan legamri. We are makel. We will allow you to return a pot to the flame on Shabbos as long as it did not cool down entirely. So herein lies a very, very important machlekes. It seems like the Magen Avram, the Vilna Gaon, and the Mishnah Brura are all saying that as long as you're avoiding a problem of bishul, as long as there's no iser, there's no prohibition of cooking this. In other words, it was already cooked. It's a davar lach shenispashel. It's a liquid item that cooked, and it's lo nitzdanin legamri. No problem. You can return it to the flame as long as you avoid all rabbinical issues. But again, there's no problem of bishul. Now let's just take a look at Reb Moshe in source number 14. It's a bit jumping the gun because we're not really up to this yet, but I want to point out something that he says over here. He writes, Hine, Lahach Zimina Mikarer, to return from the refrigerator, Al Hatanor, to the top of an oven, Dover Gush, a thick item, Shinispash Lefnei HaShabbos, Aser, Lamakmish Esher Lischamim Achiyat Sledis, Bo, Afrak Aydez Manrav. You can't return it to a place. You can't take something out of the refrigerator and put it someplace where it's going to get to Yad Zaledes Bo, even if it takes a long time. Even though on a dry item, there's no problem with bishul. You can't return it even if you took it off on Shabbos. So this is a Chazara case. Right? It was on the fire from before Shabbos. You took it off. The kosha came to silka me'er Shabbos. Daf, he writes, daf to lonet stanin, even though it didn't cool down, lonet stanin. Af lonet stanin, aser, du kenosin atem yichadash aser, midin iser chazara, shebrei shakira. Ramosha points out, really similar to what the Bach says, that there is an issue we have to worry about, as well as something looking like you, either looking like, or being that you're returning it to the fire for the first time. It's not a great riot from this case of Ramosha, but I've seen from Ramosha in other places that Ramosha was machmir for this bach. In other words, by a davar yavish. In other words, that part. He was machmir for the opinion of this bach, which would have ramifications by a davar yavish. In other words, davar yavish, where there would be no problem of bishul achar bishul, where we'd avoid all bishul problems, Ramosha would be machmer in this case, not to put it back on if it cooled down, because it looks like a new type of bishul. In other words, really, ultimately, what we could say, according to the Magen Avraham, according to the Mishnah Brura, we're not worried about it looking like a new bishul. What we're worried about is whether it's halachically defined as bishul. If it's halachically defined as bishul, it's a problem. Not halachically defined as the bishul, it's fine. We have this chumra from the Bach that says, even if it's not halachically defined as bishul, but it looks like a new action, in other words, we can no longer identify it as just simply a detour from your original cooking, then it would be a problem. That is the idea of Reisachas. I wanted to go a little further, but I don't think it's, and I really wanted to spend time on this machlekes. I'll just mention to you very quickly, because really, Paschal, like all of them, we'll go through it more in more detail next week. But Rashi says, when the Gemara says, Af b'Shabbos, that when the Gemara says, you'll let it return it even on Shabbos, well, Rashi says, that just means whether it's a Friday night or Shabbos day. What the chiddush in that is, what's the difference between Shabbos night and Shabbos day, We'll discuss that in Mr. Sam next week, what the Chiddush is. But Rashi just says, of course, the whole discussion of Chazara is talking about on Shabbos. So Rashi says, in the Gemara, Simach Tzirin Af Shabbos, it means you're allowed to return it on Friday night, and you could also return it Shabbos during the day. Tosfos, we already said, he explains that the problem is, in other words, the real Chazara would be before Shabbos. And just so it shouldn't leave you in suspense, the Rashi explains that Tosfos is really coming with a gzera. Yeah, anything which would be usher to do on Shabbos, Chazal didn't want you to do that immediately before Shabbos either. In other words, anything which would be usher midrabbanon to return to the fire on Shabbos, Chazal didn't want you doing that immediately before Shabbos either, because you'll ultimately come to mix up the two. On that, says the Karban Asanal, if it was completely raw, we wouldn't be worried about it, because the people don't mix up raw things. No one's cooking raw things on Shabbos. And then the Ran is a major kula. The Ran has a major, major kula, and we're going to see that halachically we really paskin like this, but we add in a lot of chumras. We'll see it in the Ramah next week. The Ran says, the whole idea, the whole problem of Chazara, the only time you need to be holding on to a pa, the only time you need this dai to lahachzir, is if it was off the fire from before Shabbos into Shabbos. In other words, you had a pa cooking on Friday, you took it off the fire before candle lighting, now you want to return it to the flame on Shabbos. Says the Ran, that's when you have to still be holding it. That's when you have to have all the dait lahachzir they have in mind to return it. But if it was on the fire, the entire Bein Hashmashes, if it was on the fire as Shabbos came in, says the Ran, all those things are not necessary. You don't need to have a mind to return it to the fire. You don't need to be holding on to it. You could put it down.
But you need to.
All the issues of, right, Grufa Ketumah you're going to have. Being hot, you'll still have to have, and that's being a special kotzarchi, those you'll have to have anyway. Now, it's interesting, if you look in the Ramah, we'll just point out this one line, but we'll get back to it in more detail next week. It's the beginning of the Ramah. The calls of Yeshayimrim, some say, the calls of any usher, this is only usher, Rak kisha natlu min akira mi baydiyim. It's only when you took it off the oven during the day. You're not returning until it got dark. If you took it off from after it got dark, mutter. Even if you put it down on the floor, it's going to be mutter. Says the Rama, v'cheinoygin lahakol. We are naive to be maker like this. But the next two words, v'toyv lahachmer. All right? So ultimately, it's very important to know these opinions. We're going to go through them again very clearly next week, because in my experience, most of the more serious questions that we'll have on Shabbos with regard to Chazara is the I already did it. By mistake, this happened, that happened, is it okay? It's important to remember that there is this opinion of the Ran that says that as long as it was on the fire throughout Bein Hashmashes, even if you didn't have a mind to put it back on, even if you put it down, it's going to be fine. That being the case, a lot of cases of Bidiyeved are going to be fine. We're going to allow them to go by because of this opinion of the Ran. Just to point out that in the Mishnah Brura, he writes, second. Very clearly, like you were pointing out, he writes, Pirish, had the beinon dafka o de biyada, that they need to be holding it. Gam daita lahachzer, also to have in mind to return it. Avol gara fikatum, that the flame has to be covered. Lukuli alam beinon. Everyone agrees you need to have that. I'll point out that I just noticed, I forgot this, but now that I'm seeing it, it's good thing I wrote it. At the time that I learned this, I made a little mark over here, and I said, look, in the Aruch HaShulchan, he disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah on this. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, you don't even have to have Grufa Ketuma. Okay, so again, a lot of this is really, really relevant for the Bidyevet. Because, again, if you're taking Chalent off on Friday night, you've got to have five conditions. Number one, the flame is covered. Number two, have a mind to return it. Number three, hold on to it. Number four, make sure it's still hot when you're putting it back on. And number five, obviously, which is very important, it has to be fully cooked, which is really number one. Okay? Those are the five things you should do if you want to take off Chalent. If you, by mistake, mess something up, and it went back on the fire, now you want to know, did I violate a real Isser? Can I eat my challah now? So that's where we have a lot of discussing to do. But it's important to know that we have these opinions. We have this opinion of the Ran. And on top of that, we have the extra cool of the Aruch HaShulchan, sometimes we could throw in. For Bidyevitz, it could be very important to have that case. I once had an excellent, a really interesting shiloh when we discussed this. I still do this to this very day, even though we've had this incident. My mother-in-law is not very happy about it. But soup on Friday night, instead of leaving a fire, we always struggle with what to do with it, like everybody does. Wrap it in a towel, it's not so hot. You put it in the oven, sometimes there's not enough room in the oven, sometimes the pot gets ruined. But ultimately, what do you do with the soup on Friday night? So what we do is we put four tea lights under the soup on Friday night. And it's a great idea because the soup is boiling hot from before Shabbos. The four tea lights give enough heat to keep the pot nice and hot. But they go out. After about an hour and a half, they're out. So you have to worry about it. So that's what we do. Now, one time, this actually happened in Israel. My in-laws came to us for a few days in Israel, and somebody else did the tea lights. They thought it was such a cool idea, and they put them too close together. And what happened? They all started spilling out, and it made a big fire on the stove, and it was getting pretty high. I wasn't there at the time, but there was we actually living in Israel. We had a non-Jew on the block, believe it or not. She was a caretaker for somebody, so she came. She put out the fire. When she came to put out the fire, she took the challenge off the fire, and she put it on the counter. Because she put the challenge on the counter and left it there. She got some water, she put out the fire. It wasn't a crazy fire. She put it out, and then she put it back on. Now, the question was, how do we view that?
She put it back on what?
She put it back on. There was another flame on. Sorry, there was another flame on the side. There was another flame on the side, which was supposed to be for the challah. In other words, the tea lights were for the soup, and there was a flame on the other side of the cooktop for the challah. So she took the challah off. Was
there a blech?
There was a blech. There was a blech. The tea lights were under the blech. I'm sorry, I'm leaving out the details. It was a blech. There was a fire on the right side. There were tea lights on the left side. And when the fire was coming out of the blech, so they got this non-Jew to come in. She took everything off, moved the blech to the side, poured water on it, put the blech back on, and she put the challah back on. So now the question is, are you allowed to eat the challah the next day? Because did she have das to put it back on? Was she wasn't holding it anymore? No one asked her to take it off. Take it off. That was a fascinating question. But again, remember in that case, it happened after Bein Hashmashas. So according to the Ran, she didn't even need to have Zas to put it back on. Right? So again, in the case of Bidyevet, it will always be Mekel in that case. The question was the Chalon, how much was the Chalon cooked? All these points, we spent a lot of time pondering that case. But ultimately, this comes back. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a. We'll discuss this in great length. Rav Shlomo Zalman has another discussion. The power goes out. You have an electric stove. The power goes out, right? So now your pot is, I guess, theoretically, in essence, it's off the flame. Now the electric company comes. Guy turns it back on. What's that? How do you view that? Did I have mind to take when the fire went off? Did I have in mind? Yeah, but let's think about it. The pot's off the fire now. Theoretically, if I wanted to go back on the fire, I would have to have das to put it back on the fire. Right? Where's the daita lahachzir? So what you're pointing out is a very important point. This is Rav Zalman writes this in a tshuva, that you only have to have das lahachzir if you took it off. When you take something off, you have to have daita lahachzir to put it back on. but never took it off, then I don't have to have that to put it back on. The same question would be, is it possible